Second Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 20. I'll read it, and you can follow along. You ready? Okay. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No Scripture is of any private interpretation. God, we ask you to help us with this message today, this truth. We pray you bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Adam has his own interpretation of the Bible. I say Adam, I mean mankind. They do. They can read something in the Bible. You ever notice? Read something in the Bible and totally get it wrong. And misinterpret it completely. Like, for example, they can read the verse in John that says, God is love. And they would say, love is God. And love is all there is. And all we need is love. Dun, da, 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 da. You know, and they'll just go with that, and then that's their whole philosophy of life. Sin? Well, not really. They would look at the Bible and say, well, sin, well, what is sin? And what makes you think your way is better than anybody else's way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's one way. No, he said the way. Well, sure, that's one way. Adam's got his own interpretation of the Bible, and it's egocentric. It's very egocentric. Egocentric hermeneutics is what I like to call it. Interpreting the Bible based on you, your preferences, your natural affinities, your limitations, your affections, and your opinions. And people interpret the Bible that way, and I want to encourage you this morning to be on guard against private interpretation. We tend to filter doctrine through the flesh. This is why, and I read my Bible. I love to read my Bible. I think you ought to read your Bible, but reading your Bible is not enough. You need to be taught the Bible. Not because you don't know enough to learn the Bible, but because if I'm just going to read the Bible myself, I will avoid certain topics, and I will quickly peruse things that I don't agree with. Or I will kind of move past what annoys me or convicts me. You understand what I mean by that? It's very important that I have somebody preach to me. Somebody teach me the Bible. And again, it's not because I'm unintelligent. It's not because I'm not capable of learning. It's because God will use the communicator to address things in my life and give me truth that I may otherwise privately interpret. Understand that? How many understand that? I could stop right there and you've got a full message right there. Don't privately interpret. That's why we need a teacher. So that we avoid privately making our own little interpretations out of the Bible. And we are challenged in our thinking. So when I am humble, it means I don't filter the Word of God out in any way. I do not privately interpret the Word of God. That's what humility is. To receive with meekness, and James 1:21, the engrafted word, to receive with a predisposition of receptivity. A predisposition of receptivity. I'm not predisposed to fight it. I'm predisposed to receive it. That makes sense? And I'm not trying to filter it through my situations. Boy, I've done that many times. So turn to Colossians chapter 3 for a minute. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Ready? Anger. Wrath, which is an outburst, which is a hot outburst of anger. Malice, that's the thought to do destruction or to destroy somebody else. The forethought, right? Malice of forethought. Blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, Scythian, barbarian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Look at that. You have a complaint against somebody, forgive them. Imagine if we took that approach with every complaint against another person. Someone had a complaint and said, well, they did that, forgive them. Oh, no, I got my reasons. Oh, you're privately going to interpret the Word of God now. I just read what we're to do. And you don't have any business doing anything other than what God says, or you are privately interpreting the Word of God. How many understand that this morning? Well, I forgave him. I'm just not going to look at him or talk to him or be nice to him. That's my favorite. That's what I like to do. I'll forgive him. Just keep him away from me. Now listen. If someone has been abusive to you, if someone has been hurtful to you, you forgive them. You also have every right in the world to be cautious in your interaction with them. But you do not have a right to not try to improve the situation. Because that's what long-suffering and meekness and gentleness and tenderness and kindness and long-suffering is. It's an insertion of the grace of God into a relationship with wisdom so that the relationship can improve. That makes sense? So, God forbid we live in these kind of private interpretations, but I don't want to speak about that. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So, I can look at things like that, and let me just say this. Usually, we like to privately interpret the Bible when it comes to relationships. Husbands like to privately interpret the Bible in a way that suits them in relationship to their wives. Wives like to privately interpret the Bible in a way that suits them. So the wife will say, well, the Bible says I'm to submit to my husband. Now, unapologetically, I'm going to tell you right now. The husband is the authority in the house, meaning final say. That's a Bible model. Oh, you don't like it? That bothers you? Oh, that's too bad. You say, well, you're being rude. Yes. The Bible is unapologetically clear when it talks about authority. Unapologetically. It's very clear. You don't need a Bible degree to know that the wife is to submit to her husband. You say, well, that's not very politically correct. That's what this 2002. I don't care what year it is. Listen to me. I don't care what year it is. I don't care what country you're in. I don't care where you were born. I don't care what he's like. I don't care what you're like. The Bible says this. Don't privately interpret it. Now, husbands, you're to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Now, it doesn't mean you walk around like Mussolini in the house demanding your wife's submissive obedience. Don't be a knucklehead. That's privately interpreting the word too, isn't it? Hello? Somebody say hello.
Hello.
Thank you. I want to make sure you're still there. Children, obey your parents.
Aye, aye.
So why is there so much rebellion? Because young people privately interpret the Bible. Listen. If you say to your mom, and I'll use this as an example, if you say to your mom, I'm going to get a tattoo, and you live in your mom's house, and your mom says, no, you're not, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to get a tattoo. Why? Because you're to obey your parents. Now, the reason I use the tattoo example, because I don't think anyone in here is asked to get a tattoo. Because, you know, inevitably, if I said something that was going on, someone would get, well, how does he know? And then I get that, and then people get angry with me, and they privately interpret the Word of God. So, Harry, don't get the tattoo. I don't have anything against tattoos. By the way, I don't care if you get one or not. Just don't get one in my house. What? Oops. Paul says, oops. Well, he can turn to another address if he wants to get a tattoo. You know, was it my house, my rules? Is that how that goes? Hey, listen, obey your parents, right? Ethan, right? Obey your parents. This means don't talk back to your parents. This means don't be that way. Obey your parents. So, husbands, love your wives. Love them. They're nice. Love them. It's easy to love your wife. Look at her. She's wonderful. Love your wife. What's the problem? Just love her. What does it mean? As Christ loved the church. That means don't tear her down. Edify her. Tell her she looks nice. Say something about her hair.
Hey, what's up with your hair?
And not, what's up with your hair? Say nice things. Do nice things. Lay down your life. Love your wife. Wives, submit to your husbands. You got the easy part, by the way. Doesn't say wives, love your husbands. You just got to honor them. Just submit. We got to love you. But see, isn't it amazing how in your mind, and I use that example to irritate all of you a little bit. I did that because you see how what you did in your mind right there when I said wives, submit to your husbands. How many of you kind of did a little mental acrobats to try to think of some loopholes? How many were dishonest when I just right now? How many of you, when you heard that, said, I will very quickly, without any reservation, submit to my husband because that's what the Bible says. Put your hand up. Not a single woman in the room. Kathy Lasher. And Helen, the two single women back there. Look at all the single ladies. I'll submit to a husband. Yeah, there's no problem. Don't you love this church? I love this church. You know, but just the thing, it's we all like to look for those loopholes. That's private interpretation. That's the temptation to squirrel out of what the Word of God is saying. If, for example, the Bible says that I'm to give 10% of my gross receipts to God as an individual. This is a, it's not a law, it's a principle. There's a difference between a principle and a law, by the way. Principles preceded the law. Abraham was tithing long before the law came by Moses. Everybody does understand that, right? Abraham instituted the tithe long before the tithe, long before Moses gave the law. Then after Jesus died, well, Jesus reinforced it by telling the Pharisees that they should keep doing it. And then Paul talked about it again. And then the writer of Hebrews, who's probably Paul, said it again. So Abraham instituted it. Moses codified it. Jesus reinforced it. And then Paul reimbursed it. Or Paul also said something about it. So now here comes the acrobatics. Ready? Oh, tithing. Oh, we're talking about money. The church is, church wants my money. Listen, I would rather not have your money. But then we'd have no lights, no building, no outreaches, no stuff for the kitchen, no Sunday school materials. No, I want you to tithe. I want you to honor God in that area. I have been, I'm going to just say personal testimony. This is not bragging. I have been tithing since I became a believer. I started tithing back in the church in Rome. I haven't missed a tithe in 83. I can honestly tell you I haven't missed a tithe in 35 years. I won't. It's just the principle. And I don't do it begrudgingly. I love it. You know, sometimes you drive by these houses and you say, you know, we could have a house like that if we stopped tithing. No, you wouldn't. You'd have nothing if you stopped tithing. God has opened up the floodgates of heaven. You would have zero. So don't play those acrobats either. Well, they're going on a cruise. Well, we could go on a cruise if we stopped tithing. Really? You want to go there? The Bible says God's opened up the floodgates of heaven for those that have honored him with the tithe, right? How about world missions? The Bible says, go into all the world. What's the first thing we say? I can't. I got stuff to do here. I have a job, I have a family, I have a kid, I have a house. I get that. Well, first of all, it doesn't mean, going to all the world doesn't mean you immediately need to get a passport and go overseas. Going to all the world means let's win souls to Christ. We're on this mission field right here. It's kind of arrogant for us to think that overseas missions is Europe and Australia and Africa and South America. What do you think the United States is? Hello? This is one of the hardest mission fields to be on. You're on the mission field. Hello? You're on the mission field. I keep saying hello because you're like crickets. Like crickets today. But that means go and win souls. But we fight that. I can't. I don't know how to do it. Listen, how many of you have received Christ? How many of you know what receiving Christ means? How many of you would put it like this? Jesus died for my sins. Then he rose again to overcome death. All my sins were paid for. God loves me. You can evangelize. That's all you need to say. That's the message. You don't have to, people don't want to hear, well, the Bible says in Romans, blah, 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 blah. People don't want, listen, the lost don't need you to quote them chapter and verse. They don't need the address, just show them the house, right? You don't have to give them the address. They just need to know where the house is. You know what, suffice it to say, you know, the Bible says, and then you say it. The Bible says all of us, and I paraphrase all the time. The Bible says we've all sinned really badly. And that we all deserve to die and go to hell. We don't deserve the love of God. That's what the Bible says. Nobody seeks God. Nobody's righteous. Nobody is good enough to earn their way to God. Is that true? See, that's the gospel. You can preach the gospel to every creature. But we privately interpret that. Nope. Can't. Nope. So here's the things that hinder us from receiving the Word of God and privately interpreting the Word of God. Number one, my preferences. I have personal preferences. Bible talks about being generous. I prefer to be selfish. That's my personal preference. So I may not be generous. I may ignore that part of the Word of God. I may say, nah, I want that for myself. Psalm 44:25. Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. And boy, is that true. Our soul cleaves to the dust. The natural man, we cleave to that natural mindedness, preferences. Psalm 119:25. God bless you. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. That's a great verse. My soul cleaves to the natural, the dust. Adam was formed out of the dust. The natural man was made from dust. My soul cleaves to that. I have a propensity to think naturally, to think according to my own preferences, my own wants, desires. And I may fight certain realities and certain certainties and certain convictions because I interpret them through my preferences. And I may embrace some for the same reason. I may embrace certain truths because it's a preference. Second thing I'm going to do is I may have some limitations, and that may cause me to privately interpret the Word of God. Like, I may not feel I'm a good communicator, so I may not be someone who preaches the gospel when the Bible tells every one of us that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. Casey, did you realize that you are supposed to be in all the world preaching the gospel? Chris, did you realize that? Did you know that? It's your responsibility. See, it's not my job. I do it, but it's not just my job. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it. How many of you said you received Christ as your Savior? Put your hand up in the air. You're a Christian. It's your responsibility to do it. But my limitations, what I perceive to be a limitation, I may not want to do that. That may push me away from obedience. What am I doing when I do that? I'm privately interpreting the Word of God. I am making an interpretation of the Bible based upon me. My affections. That's another thing. I may have a goal that's just not God's will for my life. I may have an affection, a relationship, or a financial venture. I have an affection towards this thing, and God can't stop me from doing that. I won't let Him. That's going to be a problem. Another thing is my opinion. You know, my opinion about leaders, my opinion about people, my opinion about various ideas. My personal opinion may become a private interpretation of what I read in the Word of God. Here's one of the problems with this, and I'm getting ready to close here. One of the problems with this is I don't know when I'm rejecting conviction in the Word of God. Sometimes I don't know when I'm privately interpreting the Word because I'm blinded by my preferences, limitations, affections, and opinions. That's why I need a preacher. That's why I need someone outside of myself to tell me the Word of God, to bring me the Word of God. How many understand that this morning? Very, very important. A couple of quick things. Number one, don't live your life in knee-jerk reactions to things, because that means you're not deliberately thinking. You'll go to your personal preferences, you'll go to your natural affections, you'll go to your limitations, and you'll go to your opinions very quickly. That's the knee-jerk reaction. The quick reaction to thing is all about me. It's based on me. Knee-jerk reactions. Don't live your life that way. Second, humble people are relaxed and joyful, and they take their time. They know that God is big enough to deal with other people. They know that God is big enough to teach them things. And they know that God is big enough to communicate the truth to them. They don't have to have these knee-jerk quick reactions to everything that happens. The last thing I'll say, number three, learn to stay before God in your trials. And you won't privately interpret the Word of God. Keep yourself before God. Keep talking to God. Keep being available to God. Keep staying, keep fellowshipping with God's people. You know, this past week we had this conference. And some people missed major portions of it for whatever reason. Some were working, some were home. Some stayed away due to personal preferences. What a shame. What a shame that is. They missed the move of God because of personal preferences, limitations, affections, opinions, whatever the case is. Oh, it's not a law that you have to come to conferences. But you know, when the body is gathering and people are together, that's the time to come and enjoy the fellowship of the body of Christ. That's what the Word of God says I should be doing. What's Hebrews 10:25 say? Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, which is the manner of some. Some people won't do it. Some people won't gather. Some people privately interpret that verse through their preferences or through their limitations. At some point, we're going to have a conversation about social anxiety. I don't know when that's going to be. I want to study it a little bit more and think it through a little bit more. But I know that many people have social anxiety around folks. They're not comfortable around a lot of people. I understand that. But I also know that God can help His people overcome any fear. God's people can overcome anything God wants them to overcome. Amen? And social anxiety, it's real. You may feel it. It may be a problem for you. But can I ask you to do something for me? If you feel social anxiety about gathering and being together, and you know that's a problem, will you please come and talk to me? And I will help you with that. I can help you. I promise you, I can help you with social anxiety. Because I know the Word of God can do that. And I'm not going to say to you, well, just obey God's Word and it'll get over it. I think we maybe want to talk to why you're anxious around people. And maybe find out at what time you're anxious around people. What are some of the things about people that trigger you? And why is that? And then see if God can identify the real underlying problem with being socially anxious. Wouldn't it be nice to overcome social anxiety? How many would love if people could overcome social anxiety? Put your hand up. A couple of people are so afraid and anxious they won't even raise their hand. All right. God, we thank you for this time this morning. We don't want to privately interpret the Bible. We don't want to hear things in the Scriptures and fight you. We want to comply to you. You love us. And that's why you've given us these things. You don't tell us things to make us miserable. You give us things to make us free. The truth sets us free. It doesn't put us in bondage. It doesn't take anything away from it. It doesn't take anything away from us. It adds to us. So God, we're willing to let you add to us. And we pray you would help us to learn to not have knee-jerk reactions and humble ourselves to you and not let our preferences, limitations, affections, and opinions keep us from walking in the light of your word when in reality, Lord, you have great things for us to do and amazing things for us to experience. And we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Stick around for a hamburger.